Welcome to the Know Your Bible program. This program is brought to you each week by the David J. Lewis Evangelistic Association in conjunction with the Churches of Christ. Your speaker is David J. Lewis, the evangelist of the association.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know.
Good evening. This is John David Berlin for the Church of Christ welcoming you to the Know Your Bible program. We thank you for tuning our program in this week. The Churches of Christ in Morenci, Eloy, the Tonto Congregation in Phoenix, and the Church of Christ in Coquitlam, Oregon, take pleasure in bringing you another message from God's Holy Word. And now here is my grandpa, David J. Lewis.
Thank you, John David. Your grandmother and I are very proud of you. My friends, as lovers of God's Word, I know that you have your Bibles at hand. Let's open them to the Gospel as recorded by Luke and chapter 10. I will begin reading with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. This evening, we're going to examine a Christian's work. We will accomplish this by dissecting the text which we just read. The message of the text is the message of true Christian service. We have Jesus, a lawyer, a victim, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. We begin our text with the lawyer. Lawyers are an interesting breed. They hold an occupation which in most cases require a motive every time a question is asked and performance of the job. My son-in-law is a criminal trial lawyer. He once told me that a good lawyer in court lives by two unbreakable laws. One, never ask a question in court that you don't already know the answer to. Two, never ask a question in court without a purpose. The lawyer in our text had a purpose in his question to Jesus. Luke says that he was tempting Jesus. He wanted to trick Jesus into saying the wrong thing so he could use it against him. I have found that many, in order to win a biblical discussion, have attempted to answer a certain way so my answer could be used against me on some future occasion. If I'm not careful, my words could and have been twisted to cause them to send a message that was not even close to my intentions. This is the motive being used against Jesus. The first question appears to be important, but we must not forget the lawyer's motive. What I must do to inherit eternal life sounds like an important and serious inquiry. Intelligent people should be asking the same question today. It is important that we know what to do to spend eternity in heaven. Many today would do well to ask ourselves this question daily. However, this question is asked in the hope that Jesus would give an answer that could be construed as being contrary or appearing to be contrasting the law of God given through Moses. Then he can be condemned by the Sanhedrin. We do well to take note of the simplicity of the Lord's answer. He didn't leave room for controversy by simple turning the query back upon the lawyer. How we would do much better to have people answer their own question by the simple reading of their own Bible. Instead of leading into Bible arguments, can we not direct those asking questions to the Scriptures? I direct all questions by having them open a Bible and read a passage, book, chapter, and verse. I then do as Jesus did and ask, "What did that say to you?" This works well for one honestly seeking the truth. Jesus responded to the lawyer by asking, "What is written in law? How readest thou?" When the lawyer responds, he has a correct answer, so we know that he is abiding by my son-in-law's second rule. He knew the answer to the initial question that he asked. He relates the essence of God's law. A careful study of the Bible confirms that everything in the Word centers around having a love for God that covers every asset of our personality. Our heart, soul, strength, and mind is what God considers the complete man. Every command in the Scriptures leads to our love of God. This includes the children of God. As the disciple Jesus loved wrote, "If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. And, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. To obtain eternal life, we must love God with all our being and our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus confirms the lawyer's answer and informs him that if he will follow through with this love, he will have eternal life. Now we have the proof that this lawyer was not totally interested in learning from Jesus, but wanted to argue, desiring to trap Jesus into a compromising position. Now, to justify his attitude and perhaps lifestyle, he asked another question. "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered this question the way that he would answer many such questions. He tells a parable that is a comparable example to explain the answer in a way that the most simple thinker can see the obvious example. When the parable is pertinent to the inquiry and properly related, the answer will seem to leap from the example. Jesus was a master at parable teaching and used the method on many occasions. I love teaching the parables of Jesus. They're full of spiritual value. There was a certain man on his way to Jericho. The road between the two cities was dangerous. Bands of robbers and murderous villains lurked in the hillocks and dens along this road. David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Psalm 23 and verse 4. And Jesus' day on the earth, the treacherous road that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho was known by the moniker, the Valley of Death. No women and very few men would travel this road alone. The man in the parable chose to traverse this road alone. He was attacked, robbed, beaten, and left for dead. A certain priest comes by. This is a man charged to represent God to the Jewish people. He performed the sacrifices to help the people to have a spiritual connection with their God. When he saw the injured man, he passed by on the other side of the road. Perhaps he was on his way to the temple to perform his religious duties. He didn't want to risk being unclean and not able to exercise his priestly duties. Like many in our day, he may have been so heavenly minded that he made himself of no earthly good. At any rate, he saw his brother in need and failed to assist him. Then a Levite happens by. This man represented the law of God to the Jewish nation. The law teaches in several points that brother is to meet a fellow brother's needs. This man went to the injured man, looked at him, then passed by on the other side of the road. One of the most worthless people at a tragedy are the looky-loos. They, for whatever reason, lack the power to assist, so they just gawk, largely to the discomfort and embarrassment of the victim. What I do find worse is the man in a position of teaching, by example, ignores God's law and goes on his merry way. As a minister of 58 years, I learned early to be pleasing to God. I not only needed to talk the talk, but walk the walk before those that I ministered to. This Levite may have known the law, but he failed in the practice of it. Then a third man comes by. He saw the injured man and had immediate compassion on him. He felt for this poor man. He performed first aid. Not only did he bandage the wounds, but used oil and wine to ease the pain and guard against infection. He didn't stop at that. He put the injured man on his own beast and took him to a place of safety and delayed his journey to care for him through the night. When he rose in the morning, he commissioned the innkeeper to see to any additional needs. He left extra money to compensate for the man's care, promising to cover any additional expenses that may arise. This would be remarkable if the observation of this helpful man ceased at this point. However, there is more to this man. Verse 38 of our text informs us that this man was a Samaritan. If their positions were reversed, it is unlikely that the injured man would have assisted in the Samaritan's needs. The Jews literally hated the Samaritans. Jesus was aware of this. When he asked for a drink of the woman from Sychar, the disciple whom Jesus loved recorded her answer with an explanation. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." John chapter 4 and verse 9. I have no doubt that the Samaritan in our story was also aware of the situation of him helping a Jew with no expectation of gratitude. I will tell you that this Samaritan had the aspects of a true Christian. The true Christian does as he would be done unto. Jesus admonished, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. The venerable apostle wrote, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And he also wrote, "And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. The true Christian goes the extra mile. The Samaritan did well to bind the wounds of the injured man. He could have moved on at this point feeling good for rendering the good deed. Instead, he made preparation for future care. We are exhorted, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. Christians do not operate by the least that we can do, but consider future needs. The true Christian sacrifices for others as Christ set the example. "Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Christ gave everything for us because we needed it. The lawyer recognized that the neighbor was the one that showed kindness to the injured man. We're commanded by Jesus to go and do likewise. Luke chapter 10 and verse 37. We begin by doing as Jesus did. He listened to his Father, believed in the will of God, walked as his Father would have him to, confessed God before all men, regardless of the cost to him personally, died, and was buried to rise again. We are to do likewise. We hear the word, Matthew 17, 5. Believe in God the Father, John 5, 24. Believe in Christ as the Son of God, John 8 and 24. Repent of all of our wrongdoings, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Confess Christ before all men, Luke chapter 12 and verse 8. And being baptized for our sins, Mark chapter 6 and verse 16. Then we're told by Paul, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As we obey the gospel, we take part in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, as it is written. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. Now that we have obeyed the gospel, we need to do as Christ would do in all things. Paul relays to Rome good guidelines for us to do as our Lord. He wrote, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. We must be dedicated to worship as Christ was. Luke records, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. It is notable that meeting in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. This shows that our Lord was dedicated to public assembly with God's people. The Hebrews author makes it abundantly clear that we are to be at the public assembly as there will be divine consequences. He wrote, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and then done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For ye know him that has said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 through 31. It is not enough just to worship. There's a proper way to worship God. Jesus declared to the woman from Sychar, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. In his prayer in Gethsemane, Jesus, praying to his Father, said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John chapter 17 and verse 17. The only proper worship is worship with the word of God for every element of the worship. There are five elements of worship which we have God's word authorizing. We are to pray, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 through 17. We are to sing, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, and Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. We are to read the scriptures, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. We are to preach, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. We are to commune in the Lord's Supper, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. The lesson of the story is clear. The hated Samaritan was the neighbor to the injured man. In our day, we would say that he was the one with Christian compassion. Jesus instructs each of us to go about our lives doing as the Samaritan did. Let us move to do as this man did. Remember the words of the wise old king, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. This is David Lewis for the Church of Christ inviting you to visit us this week. In Phoenix, we're located at 1101 West Tonto Street. This is on the corner of 11th Avenue and Buckeye and less than 5 minutes from the freeway. Our day begins at 9:15 a.m. with Bible classes for all ages. This is followed at 10:30 by a period in which we sing and pray to the glory of God. At 6 o'clock p.m., we gather for another period of worship to God. There are Churches of Christ in your area that are in partnership with this program. For those in the Marinci area, stop by and worship with the Marinci Church of Christ. If you live in the Eloy area, I recommend the Eloy Church of Christ. If you're in Coquille, Oregon, visit the Church of Christ where you are a stranger only once. If you have a Bible question, I may be of some service to you, please do not hesitate to call upon me at 480-209-6154. I'm at your beck and call anytime, day or night. If you would prefer, you may write to me at 2114 West Apache Trail, Suite 1, number 145 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Our zip code is 85120. If you'd like a compact disc of this program or a CD of any other Bible subject, let your request be known, and I'll send you one at absolutely no cost to you. On October the 13th through the 17th, the Churches of Christ are conducting our annual Arizona Lectureship here in Phoenix. We have one theme for the entire week, with over 50 speakers each discussing a different aspect of that theme. All are invited and are welcome to attend. It's an enjoyable time of edification. Why don't you come visit with us? Bring your friends. Let's learn together. We serve meals. We rejoice. We sing. And we visit. It's a great time to be together with those of a like-minded faith. Contact us. Get registered ahead of time so you'll have your seat waiting for you. And learn with God with all of us. Until we meet again at the same time next week, this is David Lewis saying that it is my sincerest wish that the good Lord bless you and keep you.